Shortly after he declared victory in the California primary 40 years ago tonight, Robert F. Kennedy left the luminous ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles and, as Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison wrote today, walked from America's future into its sorry, bloody past. The Ambassador closed its doors forever in 1989, and for many years the building that once hosted Winston Churchill, Nikita Khrushchev, Albert Einstein, and Richard Nixon was left to wither. Fights to preserve it failed, and it was demolished in 2006, but some pieces of its pantry, the actual site of Kennedy's assassination, were preserved, shrink-wrapped on pallets that wait for a special commission to decide where to put it. In her column, Pat Morrison says something important's already been lost, the actual and authentic place where history stopped, pivoted, and took us down a different road. Do we need to preserve the painful parts of our history? And if so, why? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can let us know what you think on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Pat Morrison joins us from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena, California, and it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation again.
Thank you, Neil.
And as you note in the piece, the Kennedy family wanted the place demolished and sown with salt, as you put it.
They were not happy with the idea that the site would be preserved. The site of the Texas School Book Depository, the sixth floor from which Lee Harvey Oswald fired his rifle, is a museum itself. The idea of a second museum to another Kennedy assassination was understandably repugnant to them. But as was said at the bedside, the deathbed of Abraham Lincoln, now he belongs to the ages. The death of Robert F. Kennedy belongs to all of us.
And you note that, the Lorraine Motel in Memphis has been transformed into a civil rights museum. And it's the spot, of course, where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated.
And, of course, Ford's Theater. We exist so much in the virtual and the reproductive, the reproduced, that the idea of the actual place where something happened has so much power over our imaginations that it transcends the ghoulish. It transcends the grisly. Look at Gettysburg, a place like that. Again, another pivotal point in the nation's history. Only when you stand in that place can you absorb and understand the history.
Yet Gettysburg, battlefield, and the Civil War sites, the Revolutionary War sites, those are, yes, places where history turned and there was great effusions of blood, and they're terribly sad and powerful places. That power, is it important to remember in places where, well, I'm old enough to remember the assassination of Robert Kennedy and that sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach the moment it happened.
But that's part of our history, too. We need to understand the significance of these events, as tragic as they are. When you stand in Philadelphia or walk along the Liberty Trail in Boston, you understand the exuberance and the excitement of the patriotic moment. But here you understand our losses and what it has cost the nation in these spots where tragedy took so much away from our heritage and our future.
There's a comparison you draw in your piece that was published today that so much more attention was lavished on the fires at the Universal Studios last weekend than was ever spent on the fate of the Ambassador Hotel and indeed especially the pantry where the assassination happened.
Well, I went on BBC television. People wanted to know what had happened to the New York street scene at Universal, what happened to the setting for the Back to the Future films. And I'd never seen the outpouring of concern and worry about the pantry as an actual historical place as I did about these movie sets.
There's that old line, again, you use it in your piece, that Hollywood is a place that beneath the tinsel, there's real tinsel.
Beneath the fake tinsel, yes, there's real tinsel. I think it may have been Fred Allen or many other people who said that. And I do love Los Angeles for the forward motion of the city. But sometimes as we grasp the future, our fingers open too wide and we let the past fall through.
What happened to the Ambassador Hotel in 1968? It was, that was a fashionable place to be.
It was still a chic place. There were proms that were held there. People had weddings there. And it was the natural place for Bobby Kennedy to gather his supporters on the night of this, what turned out to be a triumph in the California primary, his concluding words to the crowd, and now it's on to Chicago before he left the podium and walked away.
And fashions changed. That part of Los Angeles was no longer the chic part of the city, and the hotel simply couldn't make it anymore.
And it closed its doors, as you said, in 1989. In 1991, there was one of those sorts of sales that we see too often in Los Angeles, all the goods and memorabilia, the door fixtures and forks and plates and mementos of this place where the Coconut Grove hosted several Academy Awards. Richard Nixon wrote the Checkers speech, the speech that brought him back into the national arena, wrote the Checkers speech here at the Ambassador Hotel. All those things were put on sale, and the property changed hands several times, and the school district, which very much needs schools in the area, finally ended up with the property.
And as you say, these pieces of the pantry, the structure itself apparently couldn't be preserved intact, they are now on pallets? Where? In the same warehouses that the Ark of the Covenant from the Indiana Jones movie?
It makes you think exactly of that Ark of the Covenant warehouse. They are in a secure, undisclosed location in an LAUSD, the school district property somewhere in downtown Los Angeles, and a commission along with the school board will eventually decide what historical institution should have these remnants. There are core samples of the floor, the wall, the ceiling, the doors of the pantry are there, some of the electrical fixtures, and the biggest piece of all, the ice machine behind which Sirhan Sirhan stood, waiting, hiding, as Bobby Kennedy came into the pantry.
And do you fear, well, first of all, any place it's moved that is not its original site is going to be different?
I think it will be. I think that just looking at something and saying that's a piece of the wall in the pantry, it doesn't give you the sense of the space, the positioning of who was where, of the confines of the and the import of the actual moment. If you've been to Ford's Theater, if you've been to Gettysburg, you understand the dimensions of battle. You understand the dimensions of the assassination. Now that it's been destroyed and much of it sent to the landfill, I don't think you can ever recreate that sense with the pantry.
And do you fear sometimes it might end up on tour at, I remember seeing Hitler's car at the Dutchess County Fair.
Well, I think that was a concern of the Kennedy family, that a lot of this would end up on eBay. And certainly in this mercantile age, it's very possible that such things do happen. But I think had the whole pantry been preserved in situ in the middle of this campus, it would have been a phenomenal learning experience for students. There could have been interactive resources. There could have been all sorts of speeches and lectures. There could have been a Robert F. Kennedy scholarship emanating out of the presence on campus of this most momentous place.
And is there going to be any recognition when these new school buildings are completed in the next couple of years?
There'll be a historical exhibition in the new library, which will be built to the dimensions of the old embassy ballroom at the Ambassador. There will be in the park alongside fronting Wilshire Boulevard an excerpt from a speech. There will be a Robert F. Kennedy mural. But that place, that singular place, will be gone.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Our guest, of course, is Pat Morrison, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, and wrote a column in today's newspaper about the loss of the Ambassador Hotel and the loss particularly of the spot where Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated 40 years ago today. Let's get Rick on the line. Rick is calling us from Sacramento in California.
Hello. Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I don't think we really need to save all these places. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to save this one and some of the others, and I think they belong in a museum. But for a people and a race of beings that are consciously aware and moving forward, I think sometimes we have to let these things go and just keep them as our memories.
Just keep them as our memories, so that especially a place like Gettysburg obviously has to be exactly where it is. And there's been fights for years and years and years over places like the battlefield at Manassas in northern Virginia to buy up some of the farms that were foolishly, a lot of people believe, released so that the battlefield doesn't look like it did back in 1862.
I just don't think it's worth our time and effort and money to save all of these spaces. I mean, we can only do so much.
Well, Pat Morrison, as you note, Los Angeles is a place that its dynamism has kept it moving forward, yet it does not preserve elements of its past, or at least not this one.
I think all those places, certainly in terms of assassinations, there aren't that many, thankfully, that are the scenes of assassinations. And because there are so few that fall into this category, all the more reason to preserve what we have. Yes, we are dynamic and forward-looking. I think one of the great strengths of America is that we don't cling to historical feuds the way that other people do. We are a forward-looking people, but all the more reason to hold on to those few moments and places that we do still have.
Rick, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's now talk to Linda. Linda's with us from Flint in Michigan.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I couldn't disagree more with the previous caller. We need to honor these people. We need to remember what happened so that history does not repeat itself. I'm the president of the Castle Mission Historical Society. It's a it was an air battle that was the worst group loss in air history, and we, with the Germans, have created a memorial on the spot where the lead plane went down and crashed. And the Germans, when we had our dedication and rededication, they turn out, hundreds and hundreds of them turn out with bands, and it's very, very important. They sing the song Freedom, and we've been doing this forever. What about the spot where Jesus was crucified? These places are holy places, and we need to honor these spaces that mean so much to our civilization.
Thanks very much, Linda. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're again talking with Pat Morrison of the Los Angeles Times about, well, the strange fate of the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel, where 40 years ago today Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get Steve on the line. Steve with us from Wichita in Kansas.
Howdy.
Hi.
I've got a picture of myself and my wife standing next to chunks of the Berlin Wall. This is in a museum in Wichita, Kansas, or in Hutchinson, Kansas, and just somehow it doesn't seem like the Berlin Wall. It's just a chunk of concrete with writing on it. This doesn't have the kind of significance that it would had I actually seen the wall itself.
It is quite different. We do our broadcasts on Wednesday from the museum. There's also a chunk of the Berlin Wall there. And again, it doesn't look anything like it looked when I remember walking through the Berlin Wall about 1983 or so. And it's different when the dogs are barking and the snow is flying and there's a guard in the tower with a machine gun looking down at you. And you're wondering why you're walking in that particular direction.
I feel a bit like Zelig, because in 1989 in November I was in London, and as soon as I heard about the wall I went over there and got to Berlin about midnight and walked along this wall, and people had ladders, you know, were climbing up to the top to look over and to talk to people in East Berlin. And then apropos of the Kennedy thing, about 20 years ago I was accompanying an older reporter to interview Sirhan Sirhan, shook the hand that pulled the trigger that killed Bobby Kennedy, and then just a few months ago visited the Historical Evidence Vault in Los Angeles and put out my hand, that same hand, and touched the jacket that Bobby Kennedy had worn that night. There are so few opportunities for that immense power of the moment to play itself out for us in this country. That's why I think it's important to save them.
Thanks very much for the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Robert. Robert with us from Wisconsin.
Good morning. Actually, afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon.
I have a comment and a question for Pat at the end. My comment is, in our past, in this country, we have had, fortunately, very little bloodshed on incidents that led to great change. Unlike other countries where assassinations may be, you know, part of the course, we have had very few in this country. Now, for that reason, I believe we should save this, because this assassination is forever going to be in the history books, simply because we've had so few. That, my comment being said, I have a question for Pat. I know that these are only parts of the pantry, but is it possible that the pantry could be recreated using these parts, have them highlighted, so people could get the dimensions and see what it was actually like at that point?
I suppose if there were a historical institution that took over these parts, they could recreate that, but it wouldn't be on the same site. It would be wherever the historical institution is, say the Smithsonian. It might wind up in Washington, D.C., which would certainly help to give a sense of the place, but it would never be the same ground, the same atmosphere. And that's what I'm sorry that we have lost in this opportunity. You can recreate it and say, this is a piece of the actual wall, this is the ice machine, but as we heard earlier, it's like moving Gettysburg to Montana and saying, well, you know, this is what it looked like, but it's not the actual place.
Almost the theme parking of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate for it to turn into that, as you know, like you said, as a theme parkiness of it. But it would be better, I believe, than just having the pieces and just laying them out like the other person said about the Berlin Wall.
Yeah. Better than nothing.
Thanks for the call, Robert. It's interesting. Again, at the museum, we happen to be, again, backstage a lot because we do the broadcast from there. But they're about to do an exhibition on the FBI. And one of the things they have is the cabin of the Unabomber, which the FBI took apart piece by piece. And like one of those the temples in Egypt that were going to be drowned by the lake formed by the Aswan High Dam, reassembled in another location. And I guess for forensic purposes, they moved it all back to the lab. And to see it all in pieces where it's going to be reassembled in a museum, and I guess to some degree that's what the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel looks like right now.
It may eventually come to that, yes, because it started as a crime scene, then it became evidence, and finally it got bulldozed into history, save for these few pieces which have been preserved and at some point perhaps will be used to help evoke exactly what happened, because this was a kind of battlefield itself. Someone shed blood because he believed in something in this country.
Pat Morrison, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Neil. Thank you.
Pat Morrison joined us from the studios of our member station in Pasadena, California, KPCC. Ira Flatow will be here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.